This morning we have for our text Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. So if you're using your Pew Bible, you can find that on page 1346. Lois has the reading for you today.
Good morning. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all the things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, let's ask for the Father's blessing. Father, as always, we thank you for your word, and we ask you, Lord God, to speak to our hearts today, teach us and lead us in the way everlasting. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, well, frequently in the New Testament, the apostles of the Lord and the Lord himself tell us to keep watch, to be sober-minded and alert. Peter says it's because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion looking for someone to devour, right? The evil one, he's the god of this age, right? That's what the scripture calls him. John says that the whole world lies under his sway. And when we get to the next chapter of Ephesians, we're going to have that familiar passage about putting on the armor of God, right? The Christian has to gird himself and be ready for the day of evil, right? Be capable of standing fast against the wiles of the devil. Okay, again and again, we're warned that the Christian life is not to be spent in the manner of those who have no higher aspiration, right? They have nothing, you know, they have no sense of the spiritual realm, the spiritual life that's higher. Psalm 17:14, a verse you should have a look at, it speaks of men of this world whose portion is in this life. Okay, I think you can understand what that means. A lot of people, their aim is just to make a little money, settle down, and enjoy some creature comforts, you know, home, car, food and drink, the sports, you know, travel, that kind of thing. Their thoughts don't often extend beyond those sorts of things. Okay, they want to be filled with and satisfied by things that the world can offer, right? Men of this world whose portion is in this life. You know how Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, they have their reward. Okay, this is what they wanted out of life, so, you know, there it is, there they have it. And he goes on to say, as for you, don't store up treasures for yourself here on earth, but store up treasures in heaven, right? Here on earth, rust and moth will destroy, things decay, but up in heaven, right, the treasures in heaven cannot be touched by things that decay and degrade. And you can see that in that same psalm, Psalm number 17, that I just mentioned, right? David says, deliver me from men of the world whose portion is in this life, whose bellies you fill with treasure. But as for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake in your likeness, right? That's what'll satisfy me, right? David is aware that there are higher things available to be gained during the time of our stay here, okay? And look, you can acquire, if it fancies you, you can acquire the food and drink, the houses and lands, and the pleasures and the luxury that lots of people spend their whole life trying to get. But when you awake, they're going to be all used up, right? They will have passed you by. So, the man in the parable, he said to himself, self, you've got lots of good things stored up for many years, so why don't you sit back, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry? But God says to him, you fool, this very night your life will be required of you. Okay, so have a look at the text here. Christian wisdom teaches us two things regarding this present life. Number one, time is short, and number two, the days are evil. Okay, this is another way of saying that the world lies under the sway of the devil, okay, which means we have to use our time very shrewdly and wisely spending it on things that are going to outlast this short space that remains to us. We have to care for our souls. That's how we have to spend our time. That means we have to spend time in the presence of God. We have to study His Word. We have to discipline our flesh. We have to take care of Christ's other lambs. Right? We just can't fritter away day after day and month after month on things that are going to vanish. Okay, so he says, redeem the time. Another way to say that is buy up the time. Now is the acceptable time, right? Today is the day of salvation. Today is a day to serve the kingdom of Christ, to lay up treasure in heaven, treasure that's going to last, right? So don't be unwise. Discover the Lord's will. So I want to call your attention particularly today to verse 18. Have a look. Verse 18 is a specific expansion of that idea. Don't be filled with wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, I want you to notice that this directive takes a form that several others that we've already seen have already taken, that there's not just something negative to avoid, there is a positive thing to replace it with. Okay, so remember, for example, he said, put away lying and let every man speak truth to his neighbor, right? Don't just, you know, stop the negative. He said, let him who stole steal no longer, but what? He said, let every man labor with his hands so that he may have something to give, right? You're not just ceasing the negative thing, you're positively replacing it with something good. Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but only what edifies and imparts grace. Okay, you get the pattern. You know, it's not just stop the negative thing. It's replace the sin with positive godliness that will benefit you and the body. Okay, so here it's this. Don't get drunk on alcohol because that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And if you go, you know, just glance ahead at the next couple verses, you will see what that will lead to instead of dissipation. It leads to building each other up and encouraging each other and teaching each other with psalms, with hymns, you know, a musical life, right? A joy-filled life, thanksgiving to the Lord always in all things, right? It's quite a contrast. When it comes to wasting precious time, wasting resources, acting foolishly, letting down your guard against the evil one, the prowling lion. Alcohol, I have to say, has few competitors. It's no coincidence here that alcohol is paired up in a contrast with being filled with God's own Holy Spirit. Okay, alcohol is, or drunkenness is set in parallel. If you look in verse 17, okay, what's the parallel? Being unwise, right? Don't be unwise. Don't get drunk. Okay, it's, if you back up to verse 14, you see another parallel. It's parallel to being asleep. And if you back up to verse 11, you'll see another parallel. It's parallel to being unfruitful, right? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness and so on. Okay, now obviously, as long as there have been people on the planet, people have been making alcohol. In the Bible, first time you see anything alcoholic, it's Noah. And what's he doing? He's passed out drunk, naked. Okay, so we're not off to a good start in the Bible as far as alcohol. I'm sure that he brought the knowledge of winemaking with him from his ancestors from before the flood. It's a very ancient part of human culture. It's universally present all over the world in every civilization. It's just a regular part of how people, let's say, enjoy themselves. Okay, and obviously we're not limiting ourselves here to things made out of grapes. You know, people make alcohol out of whatever they can find, you know, rice, barley, wheat, potatoes, sugar cane, like people find a way. As you know, alcohol affects you systemically, okay? It affects your brain. It affects your blood pressure. It affects your emotions. At first, it imparts a feeling of happiness, relaxation, which is why people like it. It's to relieve stress, to celebrate something good. to unwind. But we are all well aware, I think, either by personal experience or from knowing somebody, we all are well aware how easily this desire to relax and enjoy a drink takes hold of a person and doesn't let go. Okay, a person is taken advantage of or ensnared by this need or a wish for happiness, okay, this form of happiness, such that he needs this kind of happiness on a regular basis. So every hard day at work, every family get-together, you know how this goes, you know, every happy occasion and every trying occasion, you know, every time you're tired or every time you're charged up, and pretty soon it's like every, you know, regular old night in front of the TV, this calls for a drink, right? Your body suggests it to you. How about a drink, right? I remember when I was in college, one of my fraternity brothers said, if you're going to have one or two, why not have five or six? Okay? So you know the phrase, drink your fill. Drink your fill, right? Be filled. And this is almost universally how it ends up, right? I like this. Let's have another. Okay? And so the scriptures have a lot to say about how treacherous the ground is that we tread whenever we start in with alcohol. Okay, first, in its power to entangle, and then in the consequences of overindulgence. Okay, so first about its power to entangle. Paul said in the last chapter, remember, that we're to put off the old man, which is growing corrupt. It's decaying in keeping with the flesh's, what, deceitful desires. Right? Alcohol is one of those deceitful desires. It makes you happy at first, right? You like the taste. You like the sensation. You know, Proverbs talks about, you know, how you can watch the nice red wine swirl in the cup and it sparkles and, you know, you sniff it, you appreciate it. You have your favorite mixed drinks, that sort of thing. It's like cooking, you know, just the right ingredients, just the right method. Okay. And I say this from experience, right? It's something good that you can put in your belly and it satisfies and, you know, and it's especially enjoyable when you get the good ingredients, right? But it's like the fruit in the Garden of Eden. Okay, how good it looks, you know, how attractive, how tasty, how pleasing. And if that's all there was to it, then we would have no problem. Okay, tastes good, well, good, you know, give God thanks and enjoy. But alcohol does things to you that food does not do. It very quickly alters how you function, how you think, and how well or poorly you control yourself. Literally within minutes, you're a different person. Okay, the scripture says it bites like a serpent, okay, which is to say it inflicts injury, and that happens in several ways. Paul says here in verse 18, in it is dissipation. Okay, or another version, I think it's the ESV, says debauchery. In it is debauchery, which is, you know, you lose self-restraint. Your normal self-control and inhibition falls away. And you might do any number of things that in the morning you will regret. Okay, sometimes very degrading things. But one thing that almost universally happens is you talk too much. Okay, your mouth runs by itself. And you blab secrets that you were supposed to keep. And opinions that you would normally keep to yourself, you know, out they come. Alcohol makes you much more susceptible to sexual temptation. Okay, young people's hormones and alcohol is an explosive mix. Alcohol and the computer doesn't go well together. You binge eat. Some people go binge shopping online. You know, you wake up the next day and you find out that you spent $500 on Amazon on clothes. You know, your reaction time slows down. Your awareness of your surroundings becomes fuzzy. That's why people think they can drive a car. But, you know, they end up hurting somebody or hurting themselves or at the least, you know, ruining the car, okay, and ruining their reputation. You think you're Superman. You know, you think you can do that stunt. You think you can pick up that thing. You think you can beat that guy in a fight. You know, these sorts of things happen. Okay, you know what it's like actually when you're filled with drink? It's as though you're actually filled with an outside spirit. One of our brothers in Sunday school said they call them spirits for a reason. Something takes hold of you. You're not your regular self. And, you know, some people even think that this is a way to get out of trouble in court. You know, say, well, it wasn't my fault. I shouldn't be held liable because I was drunk at the time. Okay, another spirit takes over. Okay, now listen, if you were to eat until you were too full, I mean, it's not holy, but, you know, the worst thing that will happen if you overeat is you'll either barf it up or you'll have indigestion or, you know, you may feel ashamed of yourself for overeating. But, you know, with alcohol, you change. Okay, Paul says, in it is dissipation. King James Version says, in it is excess. Okay, and like I said, ESV uses the word debauchery. Now, to me, debauchery is, you know, that reminds me of that, you know, unhindered, just let it all hang out, you know, wild, let's have a great time, that kind of living. Okay, Peter says, it's how the Gentiles live in lewdness, in lust, in sensuality, and in carousing. Okay, and it just sort of has this animal, disorderly, reckless quality to it. Okay, debauchery. King James' choice of word is excess. To me, that's very polite. You know, it seems like a kind of an understated way of saying it's just, it's too much, unrestrained, out of control. And I don't think it quite captures the debasement and the grossness that often comes with alcohol. So here in this version, a New King James says dissipation. And to me, the main idea of dissipation is just the idea of waste. You know, it's, you know, you've just frittered away, you know, you've wasted time, wasted life. You know, for one thing, the whole night is lost and you can't be regained. And then, you know, the next day is lost too while you try to recover and, you know, you're good for nothing. And honestly, you know, what can you do for the Lord while you're intoxicated? You know, what can you do for the Lord while you have a hangover? Are you going to say your bedtime prayers in with reverence and holy awe? Are you going to read the Bible? Okay, the scripture says when you're full, your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord. Okay, that's in Deuteronomy. Okay, you have to wait until you're sober again, right? So it's just dissipation, right? It was frivolous, it was pointless, it's wasted time. And look, time is so short. Okay, people say, that was great, let's do it again, we'll do it again next weekend or tomorrow. Okay, so a waste of time, it's a waste of money, right? How much hard-earned money goes down the drain because of a love to drink, right? You know you need money for many other of life's needs, but, you know, there it goes. The prodigal son says squandered his wealth on loose living, okay, and you know what happened to him? He ran out. Your health is wasted. You're more susceptible to illness when you drink, and, you know, you're poisoning your major organs, as you know, okay? So there's long-term effects. Your relationships, your family, damaged by the runaway words. They're damaged by the waste of money. They're damaged when, you know, you were incapacitated and somebody needed you. Damaged by the embarrassing behavior. Okay, Proverbs is right. In the end, it bites like a serpent, and the Word of God warns us. All right. In the end, it's going to be feelings of uselessness and shame, and many people who drink will testify to you feelings of imprisonment. Okay, you find out one day you can't get free. Right, you're caught. Okay, so this is why Solomon says in the Proverbs that wine is a mocker, and beer is a brawler. Okay, and whoever is led astray by it is unwise. Okay, Paul says, don't be unwise. Understand, a mocker, you know, the devil mocks at you, laughs at you when you know, your human dignity is brought down low. Okay, and a brawler, you know, you might as well get in a fight for the harm it's going to do you. Okay, maybe you won't suffer actual physical injury, but it will injure you. So Proverbs says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine, who go in search of mixed drinks. Last night I got beat up and I didn't even feel it. When shall I awake so that I may have some more to drink? Okay. To me, it's very easy to see that along with sexual sin, this is one of the most universally, you know, it's just widespread, you know, readily observable aspects of human behavior where a deceitful desire ensnares people. Okay, so when Paul says, walk circumspectly, don't be foolish, be wise, don't let the time pass you by, but redeem it, use it to serve the Lord, okay, that so well applies to this area of life. Right? So many people can testify that, like sex, this is one of the most tenacious battlefields between what the flesh wants and what the spirit wants. Okay, so we have this contrast set forth by Paul. Don't fill up on wine or liquor or whatever it is. If anyone is thirsty, well, let him be filled with the Spirit of God. Okay, in another book, he says to another congregation, it's high time to awaken out of our sleep, for our salvation is closer to hand than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand, so let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let's walk properly as people do in the daytime. Listen to this phrase, this series, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, which usually goes hand in hand, not in strife and envy, which often comes along with that as well. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for your flesh to fulfill its desires. Okay? Fleshly desires wage war against your soul, says Peter. Okay? Dissipation, debauchery, excess, unholiness. Right? And without holiness, no one's going to see the Lord. Okay? So I know how common a desire it is to fill yourself with drink. Right? Believe me, I have been familiar with it. And you have to find something to substitute for it. Okay, like I said earlier, and we said it weeks ago, it's not enough to just simply quit the negative thing, right, to put off the old, right? All that does is bring you to neutral. You have to put on something positive in order to please the Lord. Okay, quitting drinking can be hard if all you're trying to do is quit drinking. The scripture doesn't say just quit drinking. It says be filled with the Spirit of God. Now I'll say this. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you will never do anything that you will regret in the morning. Okay? You will never humiliate yourself and degrade the likeness of God in which you've been created. You will not have joy just for an evening and then the next day say, oh, my aching head. Okay? You will never feel like you wasted the night. You never feel like you wasted the money. You'll never feel like you damaged your reputation or shamed yourself by saying something stupid or disgusting. It'll never happen, okay? Being filled with the Spirit of God will never harm your body. It's not a gateway into loose living. It doesn't cause any sicknesses. It doesn't lead you to commit any crime. It doesn't arouse any bitterness or envy or aggression, okay? It's rejoice in the Lord always, and I'll say it again, rejoice. The Lord is close at hand. Right, draw near to the Lord, he'll draw near to you. Now, there are going to be times when you will feel that another spirit has overtaken you, but it's going to be the spirit of life and health and peace, the spirit of thanksgiving, the spirit of righteousness and true holiness. You will become another person, but this other person is going to be somebody who is worthy of praise, worthy of the praise of God. Okay, if anyone is thirsty, said Jesus, let him come to me and drink. And from within him, rivers of living water will overflow. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty again. Okay? David said this in Psalm number 4. It's verse 7, Psalm 4, 7. You have put more gladness in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. You get that? Okay? They are having a temporary good time, right? They're having a carnal happiness, but tomorrow it will have passed and they're all going to be reaching for the coffee and the aspirin bottle, okay? And all they have left is the restaurant bill, right? But the gladness that I have in my heart, the singing and the making melody to the Lord, okay, with me, that just goes on and on. The Lord said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, but you've put more gladness in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. Okay, let them have their parties and their pleasures. I have the light of your countenance and your abiding presence. Okay, so for anyone who hears the Lord's call to come away from alcohol or something else that you're hooked on, let me say this. It's not so much the how can I quit this thing, okay, because then your attention is all focused on the thing, you know, the booze or the cigarettes or whatever it is. But ask instead, what shall I fill myself with that will take its place? Okay, what will alleviate my desire for the thing? Okay, and for that, there's a practical side And obviously more important than the practical side is the spiritual side. Okay, but there is a practical side. You have to find something else besides alcohol to drink. Okay, my personal recommendation is iced tea. It goes good with a meal. It's nice at night. Okay, but whatever it is, you have to have a plan. Choose another thing to drink. Okay, if you like fizzy drinks, fine. If you like hot drinks, fine. Find something else that is going to take the place of your liquor or your beer, okay? And don't quit just a little bit at a time. Just quit, okay? Take it from a person who quit smoking, and it took me like 15 tries to quit smoking. You can't quit a little bit at a time. Just quit, okay? The Bible says don't give the devil a foothold. You know that if you toy with the thing and compromise with the thing and have just a little bit now, and okay, you're going to lose. Right, find another thing to like instead and make the switch right away. Okay, like I said, I remember with quitting smoking, a big part of what worked for me was I was really busy for like the whole next week or two. Find a substitute for your hands to do. The first day, I did like 8 loads of laundry. I was busy all day. You know, wash the windows, clean the garage. Find something to do that will keep your mind off the thing, because all you're going to do is think about the thing, okay? Another activity, okay? And then the urge eventually passes and you're free, right? You know the feeling of imprisonment. You know what Jesus said, that if the Son sets you free, you'll be free, okay? So much more necessary than the iced tea or the window washing is you can be filled with the Spirit of God. And there are specific things you can do to bring that to pass. Okay, we'll wait until next week for that, but you can perceive several things just as you scan the next few verses. Music that focuses on the Lord and on his goodness, right? That brings the Holy Spirit. Okay, the company of the saints. You see how it says one another, speaking to one another, right? You need the companionship of other believers. That's a huge help for overcoming anything like this. Whether it's Bible study, ladies' meeting, choir practice, one-on-one, a breakfast or lunch with somebody, okay? If you need a filling of the Holy Spirit, you know that he lives in the other believers, so you know where to find him. Psalms, it says. Read the Bible, okay? It's authored by the Holy Spirit himself. You need to be filled with the Spirit, read his book. Okay, a lot of Psalms happen to be prayers. Say your prayers. Do what the psalmists do. Confess your sins, discuss your troubles, right? Ask God for his power, talk to him about how great he is, how kind he is, thank him for all these blessings, right? Plead with the Lord to fill you with his Spirit, and he will give you what you ask for, because you're quite clearly, in that case, asking according to his will. Didn't he say if you ask according to his will, he'll answer you, he'll give you what you want? That is the will of God for you, your sanctification. Okay, less and less like the world, more and more like the Son of God. Okay, if you need some help, well then come, we'll talk, let's talk about a plan, and let's press on toward higher ground together. So thanks be to God for his word, thanks be to God for his Holy Spirit, let's pray. Lord in heaven, as always, you alone, Lord, are holy, but you've called us to be holy as you are holy. And so we thank you, Lord, that you do fill our stomachs with good things, but Father, we're well aware of the struggles that that alcohol and other things that the Bible writers didn't even know about, the struggles that they bring to men and women. And we pray, Father, that you will help us not to be persuaded by them and trapped by them. Scripture says that all things are good, but I will not be mastered by anything. And so I pray that that would be our attitude, Lord, that we would be mastered only by you, that we would serve you. Fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your words. Thank you for good music. Thank you for Christian companions to be surrounded by. May we crave their company, Lord, and crave your Holy Spirit's presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And for your glory and for your majesty, we ask it, Lord. In Christ we pray. Amen.